Well, we're going to take today a little different route to begin with. We're going to start with a test this morning. Everybody will be graded thus. Now, what you're looking at is a blow-up of a United States postage stamp 3 or 4 years ago. You'll notice the price of the stamp. This was a book of stamps, the face of the book of stamps, 42-cent stamp. Post office had mother, baby, John the Baptist on this picture. I actually stole it from the post office. Well, not really. It was on an advertisement they had, and I asked them if I could have it, and they said, yeah, we'll take it down. We'll take it down next week after Christmas. And so this has been about 3 years ago. I'm sorry, Inger, I've missed you. So the question is, what's wrong with this picture? Based on what we've covered before, what is wrong with this picture? If you know what's wrong with this picture, hold up your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who was first to hold up their hand? Keisha, what's wrong with this picture? That's correct. John the Baptist in this picture is what? Maybe 7, 8 years old? 9 years old? But John the Baptist was only 6 months older than Christ. And so it goes to show how over time, how tradition has taken away from the truth of the gospel. And so today I want to go back and cover again how this is determined. How would you in fact determine that John the Baptist is not 7 or 8 years old when the baby Jesus here, I don't know, Jesus here looks to be maybe a year old at this point. How do you figure that out? Because as we talked about last week, there's so many clues in Scripture that are minute things. And I likened it to 48 Hours, the program on TV about where they're investigating crimes. And sometimes it's the smallest little minute detail that will solve the problem. And that's the way it is with Scripture. So often we just read right over the clues that are there and do not question them. And so the question today is twofold. Is December 25th a pagan day? And what is the day of the Nativity? Is it December 25th? You know, you hear people say, that's pagan. December 25th is not really the birth of Christ. It's a pagan day. For example, the Jehovah's Witness won't celebrate Christmas because of that. And so I want to go back and look at that, and when we get finished, we'll understand why the post office doesn't understand how old John is or was. The Pharaoh of Egypt, 2,000 years prior to Christ, the Pharaoh of Egypt was Osiris, before Christ was ever born, 2,000 years. And Osiris married his own sister, Isis, and we've talked about that name before. And Set killed Osiris. And Set cut Osiris up into 14 pieces, and threw him in the Nile. Isis played Humpty Dumpty. She went and got all 14 pieces, and historically, legendly, she put them back together again. And Osiris then became the god of the underworld, the prince of the dead. His title eventually became. And the Egyptians believed at death, they all became Osiris. Well, his son, Horus, set about and killed Set, the one that had killed Osiris. And he became Pharaoh. And then Isis became known as the Queen of Heaven. You've heard that, I'm sure, in all of this business about the 25th of December. She was in Babylon, the Queen of Heaven. And she gave birth to this son, Horus, who, in fact, killed Osiris. But he was born on December 25th, Horus was. They referred to this day as the Yule Day. You've heard of the Yule log? Yule means infant. And they lit candles on the altar of the sun god, Horus, who he was considered to be. And of course, that tradition we find in our own celebration, we light candles still today. Cakes were brought to the sun god, and cakes in the Old Testament became part of Jewish idolatry. So you can begin to see that these dates begin to fall together, mix. The Yule log in Babylon referred also to Nimrod, who was murdered, but supposedly he resurrected on December the 25th. The Christmas tree became a part of these celebrations. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. It's on page 1031 in your companion Bible. I'll show you that the Christmas tree was a pagan thing. Jeremiah chapter 10, page 1031. Just look at a couple of verses there. Beginning with verse 1 of that 10th chapter. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heathen. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe, and they deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Here you see, even in Scripture, reference to this pagan worship of the tree, which follows through into our own December 25th celebration. Of course, many other traditions crept into this December 25th. Our Santa Claus, for example, is a pure tradition of our culture, and it further masks the meaning of December 25th. Actually, it's kind of different. Santa's just Satan misspelled, but he comes from the sky. So it's easy to see Christmas was a pagan festival long before Christ was born. But those pagan rituals and the festivals became mixed. They became mixed with Christmas and Christianity. And how did that happen? Well, it happened because of Constantine, who was the emperor of Rome. And he actually became a Christian, believe it or not. And so he made Christianity the official religion of Rome. And that had its good and its bad. because politics, and politics seems to always get involved in everything, politics demanded that the pagan world and the Christian world were celebrating all of these things on December 25th. And so it was established at that time by Constantine that all of these festival holidays would be on the same day, December the 25th. All of the things that were going on in Babylon, all the things that had come from the Queen of Heaven, from Egypt, and so forth, was made official with Christmas as December the 25th. Of course, we're seeing that even today. You know, it's happy holidays because of Kwanzaa and everything else that comes about. Now, I hope I haven't totally ruined Christmas for you, because I want to look at the rest of the story. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We'll back up a little bit from what we've been reading. Luke chapter 1. And we'll start at the fifth verse. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. There is your 48-hour minute detail. What is the course of Abia? And why is that stuck in there? In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and remember, that's what? The course? His course? Abia. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. He took part in the holy temple. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Well, he was great in the sight of the Lord. Remember what the Lord called him? Of those born of woman? None greater than John the Baptist. Verse 16, And many of the children of Israel saw, shall he return to the Lord their God. John was a forerunner, preaching in the desert about Christ. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to many ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Where shall I know this? He almost laughed. He did not believe what the angel said. It's almost like Abraham, same situation. Elizabeth was barren. He was old. It wasn't going to happen. He says, For I am old, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they were perceived, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. We have to look at this statement, the course of Abiah. You got it. That's the key. That's the little minute detail that propels us along to a better understanding. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Page 560. Chapter 23 of 1 Chronicles. Verse 1. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel and the priests and Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number of their polls, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. And moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And David divided them into courses. Now here we begin to understand what the course was about. And I got to skip because it gets too detailed from here on. But we're going to see, for the sake of time, turn over to the next chapter, chapter 24, and look at verse 10. The seventh course to Hakoz and the eighth course to Abiah. Now, Zacharias, we read in Luke, was of the course of Abiah. That's the eighth course. So, twice each year, the priests from the different tribes took their turn to serve in the temple. Starting, the first course was after the Feast of Tabernacles, October the 6th, or the Jewish year of Tisri. And they progressed through all 24 weeks, and then they rotate again, the courses. And so we read here where the eighth course, Abiah, was where Zacharias served in the temple. So the first course started after the Feast of the Tabernacle, which was beginning after the feast there in September. And it put Zacharias in the temple in December 6 to 12. That would have been the eighth week after the Feast of the Tabernacles. So we know where he was in December. His second course then would have been the eighth week when they started the rotation again. So his second time in the temple was June the 13th. Or 24 from October 6th, December 6th, when he served before. So I hope I'm not confusing you, but there's two rotations, 24, 24, and he was the eighth of each of those 24 rotations each week. Now there were three feasts, and they all of the priests were there for those other 3 weeks. But these courses ran after, they started after the Feast of the Tabernacles. So it put Zacharias there on June the 13th. And he would be completed then on June the 19th. He could not travel on the 19th because that was the Sabbath. That was against the Jewish law. He had to wait until the next day when his ministration was complete. And we read about that there in Luke chapter 1, verse 23, where his ministration was complete. 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. June the 20th. Now, Zacharias lived in the hill country. That's 30 miles from Jerusalem. Zacharias was an old man. It took him about 10 miles a day to get to his home in the hill country. He arrives there on June the 23rd or the 24th. And if you read the next verse, we read, and after those days, after his days of travel, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. Now the rest of the story. The rest of the story begins with Luke 26. This is the next verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Gabriel named Nazareth, into a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. In the sixth month of what? Elizabeth's pregnancy. She had hid it for 5 months. She couldn't hide it anymore. Her cousin was Mary. So in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel comes from God to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. When is 6 months from June the 24th? It's exactly December 25th. So December 25th is truly a holy day. It just doesn't happen to be the day of the Nativity. It is the date of the miraculous conception. It is the date of the begatting of Christ. And it makes 1 John verse 14 becomes beautifully understood and clear when it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's when the Word became flesh. The birth didn't occur until later. Christ was begotten on this day. It is a holy day, December 25th. And we celebrate December 25th. We just don't understand what day it actually is. Now, the more to the story. What is the perfect gestation time for a child once conceived? Well, it's 280 days. Jan's telling me here, nurse's aide here. 280 days. What does that match? 280 days from December 25th is when? It's September the 29th, the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. What's important about that? Why is that so important? Turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, "The 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And on the first day shall be a holy convocation, ye shall do no several work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation to you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And it is solemnly assembly, and ye it is a solemn assembly, and ye do no several work therein." So this 280-day gestation period ends on the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, which is the 7th month of the Jewish year. And so it's our September the 29th. But what is significant about the 7 day? And look at Leviticus chapter 12 then. Back up to chapter 12. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and bore a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised." That is the exact day that Christ was circumcised in the temple by the verses that we read, Simeon the priest. And he saw the Messiah, Christ Jesus, 8 days after he, all according to the Old Testament and prophecy, is fulfilled. Now, there's other mitigating factors that back up what the scripture is saying and lend credence to the scripture. For example, shepherds don't keep watch in their field in December. That's winter. By December the 25th, the shepherds are out of the field and all the sheep are brought back into the fold. It's unlikely that Mary, pregnant, would travel 70 miles in the dead of winter on a donkey. The Roman Empire, remember they're going to pay their taxes? The day to pay the taxes was not in December. The day to pay the taxes was in September. Why? Because all the Jews were there for the Feast of the Tabernacle. And so the date to pay the taxes was at the time that everybody was in the city, not in December. Clement of Alexander, the Pope, in the 3rd century, wrote that Christ was born on the 25th, and that was 300 years after actual Christ's year of birth. And by that time, the truth had been lost. Everybody had, in 300 years, nobody knew. And and Clement, the Pope of Alexandria, made this huge mistake by designating this birth of Christ, the Nativity, at 25, December 25. The beginning of Christ is on December 25th, not the birth of Christ. Now, I've put it up here on the board. I know it can be a little bit confusing, but it is the truth. This is what it looks like. John's conception was June the 23rd, 24. That's the Jewish month of Sivan, S-I-V-A-N. John's birth was the 7th of Nisan, or March 28, 29. Jesus' begetting was 6 months after this, on December, and it's Tebeth, the Jewish month Tebeth, which is our December 25th. The Nativity then, 280 days later, which puts us on the 15th of Tisri, which is our September the 29th, which is on the first day of the Feast of the Tabernacle, and Christ is circumcised 8 days later, according to the Old Testament prophecy. Got it? I won't be covering this again for a while. I know we've been over it a couple of times, but I just wanted to hit it again, just to review and show why the U.S. Post Office doesn't know what they're talking about. In whoever did their stamp, it's not scripturally correct, and it's one of those minute little bits of information that lead us to the truth, like it was in our lesson last week. You have to run these things down. Hallelujah. Christ is born. Unto us a child is born. Unto you, unto me, a child is born. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your gift of the Son and his advent into the world. How grateful we are for the salvation that comes to us by him. I pray for each student here that you would continue to give them eyes of understanding and open their hearts and minds to the magnificent word that you have left us, that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, Luke 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph said, and Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.